You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Are you excited to be here today? Well, hey, this morning it is Easter Sunday.
So here's my thought for today. It's going to be really simple. Here's my thought. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to bring dead folk back to life. That's going to be our focus today, because I believe that everyone in here this morning can have a real encounter with God that nobody can take away. Here's the reality. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of the one with an opinion. Cheesecake tastes good. If you've never had it and you told me that it doesn't, since I've had it, it's good. Anybody else like that? You know what I'm talking about? You can have some nuggets from Chick-fil-A, and the person that has never tried them can't tell you that their nuggets aren't phenomenal. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm preaching when you preach about food. See, you can give me your opinion, and someone can give you their opinion, but when you have an experience, it can never be taken away. And my assignment this morning is to just give you an opportunity to believe again, to give Jesus an opportunity to prove what some have told you is not true. And they've never had an experience, but this morning, that's my target. And like I told you, I won't keep you long. Romans 8, verse 11 says, "The Spirit of the Lord, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." Jesus Christ, when he died, he rose again. And the Bible says in Romans that the same power lives in you, and it could bring something that's dead alive. The dream that you walked in here with, that you dreamed about as a kid, you dreamed about when you first got married, you dreamed about when you started life and you had a skip in your step, and now you're a little bit older and it's come a slow trot, and now it's become a walk, and it seems like the thing that you once believed, it seemed like it's dead. The Bible says that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, his reality, it's true, can bring your dead thing back to life. I don't know if you're like me, but even as a pastor, there are some things that I have really asked God if it had an expiration date on it. All of us don't like expired milk. I don't reach for the expired milk. Do you know what I do? I throw it away, because I can see the expiration date. But in God, the Bible says that even the dead thing, he looks and goes, "Why would you throw that away? I ain't done with that yet." See, he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Can you just follow with me just for a few more moments? I wrote this down. The resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life you're living and the one you could live. You and I could be living in I say it every week, like I loved the Jeffersons when I was growing up. We can be living in a deluxe apartment. God's got more. You could be living at the lowest place in your life. God's got more. Just when we think that it's good enough, God's got more. I want to challenge all of us this morning to believe again. Or maybe just believe for the very first time, because the opinion of one shouldn't impact you when the reality exists for you. See, God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to bring dead things back to life. I wonder if you walked in here today and your marriage is hanging on by a thread. I wonder if you walked in here because the doctor may have given you a report and they told you, "This is what you have, and this is what you can expect." I wonder if you and I could just find a glimmer of faith today to say, if it's true that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, before I leave, I might give it a chance. I wonder if we could be a little crazy this morning and say, what's the worst that could happen if I believe? If I've been living one way, the life I have, I wonder what I could have if I allowed him to give me such an experience. Are you here? See, Easter is death working backwards. That's what C.S. Lewis said. See, it's contrary to what we might think. We might think that Easter is just an event. No, 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 no. Easter is death bringing life. It's crazy to think that the death of a man could bring you life. But the Bible says in John chapter 3, not to quote a lot of scripture, but it's true. It says, for God so loved you that he gave his most important thing, so that whoever believes, hey, give me a little bit of faith, should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, Easter is death working in reverse. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to bring dead things back to life. Now, I don't know if you're about like me, but there have been times in my life where I thought, whenever I read the Bible, that it was just good enough for them. You know how it is. Everyone knows, no matter whether you have been in church for a long time or you haven't, everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. When I'm a huge sports fan, and whenever the NCAA tournament comes on, they say, who will be the David and take out the Goliath? A 16th seed has never beat a number one seed until UMBC did it versus Virginia. Who will be this year's David versus their Goliath? All of us know that. And sometimes it can seem so far away, but the Bible is full of people like you and me. This is what my dad likes to say, because I'm from D.C., who were trifling folk, meaning that they were just jacked up, messed up, tore up, horrible. There was a man by the name of Paul. I'm going to read you a quick little text. And it says that Paul had an encounter with God, but before he did that, he murdered Christians. Here's an example. Paul would have found out about Easter service in Vista Lakes, that there was an Easter egg hunt, and Paul would have decided that this was the service he wanted to come to. So while all of us were in here, Saul would have all his boys going, in 3, 2, 1. There would be no service for us next week. That was Paul's life. But the Bible says that Paul was walking one day and he had a God encounter, because what he had been living with was the opinion of others. But his life changed when he had his own encounter. When he had his own encounter, he started to believe. See, he was heading in one direction, living one level of life, but Jesus proved himself to him and said, the life you could live, I don't even think about what you did wrong. So in this text that I read, we see that this hero, that if we grew up in church, people would be like, oh, I can never be like Paul. But sometimes we forget about Paul was a murderer who was exonerated when he had an encounter with God. So I can tell you, you may have walked in here with, like my dad said, trifling situations, horrible, terrible, no matter what. And God is not even thinking about it. Now, the person beside you might be worried. But Jesus isn't. Jesus isn't. And here's what Paul said, this, so that we can feel like, okay, if it was okay for Paul, and if God could change Paul, God could change me. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He says, hey, I don't want you to be living in the dark, friends, about how hard it's been as we've come from Asia. It was so bad, we didn't even think we were going to make it. Have you ever felt like you weren't going to make it? Like the situation in your life was about to break you and take you out? Paul felt that way. He said, we felt like we had seen death row and that it was over, like there was no tomorrow. We felt like giving up. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could ever have happened. Did you see that? Paul said that the moment where it was crushing me, it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened. Because instead of trusting in our own strength to try to get over it, we were forced to trust God totally. I could have tried it myself, but when I was at my end, all I could do was give God a try. Remember, I challenged all of us earlier. What's the worst that could happen if we let Jesus just see if he was real? And here's the thing. If he doesn't prove himself to you, we can keep going. That's what's cool. We can just keep moving. But I think that if our faith rises, I think he proved the naysayers wrong. Let's keep going. So we trusted God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. Paul said, you know what? I had heard these sayings that he brings dead things back to life. And that when he died, it was working backwards. I can honestly tell you that we were about to throw in the towel. We were about to give up. We were on the verge of death row. But he said, we trusted God totally. It's not a bad idea, he says, because the God that I'm talking about raises the dead. And then he said, look, and he did it. We trusted him and he did it. And he changed our life. Paul said, it looked one way, but we believed and we trusted. And God changed our life. This morning, I wonder if we would allow God to bring back some dead things and make them alive again. I wonder if in this building that we would actually believe again or for the very first time. I just believe that everyone can have an encounter with God today. But here, that's just one. Let me prove another one to you. There's a guy by the name of Abraham. Abraham had a son when he was 100. That means that if we were to visit the nursing home and when you walked in, there was balloons that said, it's a boy. And it was in Nancy and Jim's room. You might look and say, okay, y'all, we need to talk, Grandma. We need to have a conversation because this threw me off, Grandma. This threw me off. But the Bible says that there's a man by the name of Abraham that had been believing God for a son. And when he got a little bit older, God told him, he said, if you will believe, just give me a try. I promise you will have a son. Decades later, when he was 100, the Bible says that he ended up carrying his son named Isaac. It is never dead if you allow yourself to have an open door for Jesus to do the impossible. 100 years old. All I'm trying to challenge us this morning, since you came here, and I promise you, we are going to have fun with the kids. But this is your chance to believe again. Or even for the very first time. It says this in Romans chapter 4. You can read the verse. It's on the screen. It says this. It says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed that God who brings the what? Dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Can I tell you that all throughout history, the stories that you've heard in the Bible, these were not superstars. These were people who ran into struggle and doubt. Abraham actually had an affair on his wife because he tried to have the baby on his own. But the story that I'm reading to you today is about a flawed man who the Bible says he still believed. And the dead thing came back to life. Can I tell you that your dream is not dead? Your marriage is not dead. The sickness in your body, God can remove. I promise you he can. Don't let what someone else on the outside tells you become your fact if we haven't allowed the possibility of an experience. All I'm saying this morning is what could happen if we gave it a shot. All right, I mean, it's I've already been living my life the way I've been living my life, but what could happen if I tried the life I could have? That's all I'm saying. Just a possibility. That's the reason why I was asking you to fill out the response card, because I want to know what you're thinking about. Because as a pastor, I don't want to preach about what I want to preach about only. I want to know that if you're dreaming about X, Y, Z, I want to create an atmosphere when you come in here, you're like, yeah, you're talking to me. I walked in here limping, but I'm walking out here a little bit stronger today. Because pastor, you focused on my need. That's what Jesus does. Jesus focuses on your need because he knows that when you're full, then you're going to tell people about him. If you're walking around and you're hurt, it's hard to tell how good Jesus is when he hasn't shown up in an area. But I promise you today that if we believe, I guarantee. How about that? I'll give a guarantee that he will prove himself to you. Now, I got to be honest with you. The only way that I can give a guarantee is that you're looking at someone. I never wanted to be a pastor. Never wanted to be a pastor. I honestly, true story, I had my dream job. I was an athletic trainer for the Orlando Magic. They play this week, just so y'all know. Cheer them on. We don't need them to go home this soon. I was an athletic trainer for the Orlando Magic. All of the stuff that I owned was free because I never had to pay for any clothes. I was able to hop on a Learjet and go to the games. All of my dream players as a kid, I could walk up and meet. I knew X, Y, Z, and they were my friends. And then God quickened me and said, now, Damon, you said that you believe me. And I said, well, of course I do. Let me go in this locker room real quick. We can talk about this later. I said, Damon, would you be willing to do something that might seem a little crazy? What? This is me just kind of having a quiet time with God. And in my heart, I felt God say, Damon, I'm so happy that you were able to fulfill that. But I want to make you a little uncomfortable, Damon, because your story, I want you to tell to more people. And I said, I'd be happy to tell my story. What you want me to do? Kids in school? You want me to be a motivational speaker? No, Damon, I want you to serve in your church. And I want you to start by doing it for free. So after me and God wrestled a long time, I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And 20 years later, I've seen God allow me to watch people's lives change. So as I'm talking to you, I just want you to know that I didn't grow up with some pipe dream of wanting to be a pastor. You're looking at someone that is literally every single day of my life trusting God. I trusted God that you would be here this morning. I trusted God that the thing that God would have me say to you, you will believe. I trust God that so many of us today are going to believe again. I guarantee it, because you're looking at someone who had a crazy God dream, but I grew up in a jacked up family and I wasn't supposed to be here. So I just want you to believe again. Can you look at somebody beside you and just say, believe again? I added the whisper for effect, y'all. You know, just sometimes you got to add effect. Believe again. Sorry. It's like Manifest, the TV show. I don't know if it's coming back or not. They kept me hanging. Anybody watch reality TV shows? Sorry. I'm so sorry. I was out on the limb by myself. No one watches it. That's the reason why they're not on. But This Is Us is on. Anybody watch This Is Us? Were y'all just as jacked up as I was with Beth and Randall? Oh, Lord, they kept me. Oh, come on. Y'all are getting way off. Listen, we can believe again. The opportunity is here. I found one more story. It's a story of a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. That's how it's described. Lazarus was a regular man. When you read about Lazarus, it doesn't really describe like any of his character. All it says was just says Lazarus. And it says that Jesus went to Lazarus's house. That was it. Just a common man, just normal, like nothing fancy. Like he just worked and that was it. He was a good dad, good husband, whatever he may have been. His name was just Lazarus. But the Bible says this in verse in John chapter 11, you can see it on the screen. It says, now there was a certain man who was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Let me pause right there. It says, he whom you love is sick. It doesn't say Lazarus, who loves you, is sick. It doesn't say Lazarus, who went to church, is sick. It says the one whom you love is sick. Can I tell you that the love of Jesus, watch this, I wrote this down. God is not motivated to love you based on your love for him, but because of his love for you. The one whom you love is sick, not the one who does good, the one who goes to church, the one who was in your Bible study, the one who did this, not the one who does religious deeds. No, no, no. The one whom you love is sick. Can I tell you, regardless of if you love Jesus back or not, he loves you. I know that sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes I get so frustrated when I watch TV and I see other pastors on TV, because so many times we talk about things that create such negative animosity. And instead of talking about the love of Jesus and allowing Jesus to change lives, we go down this list of what we're against versus saying, whether you love Jesus or not, he loves you. Instead of saying, this is what you need to do, we need to say, Jesus loves you. He will handle the rest. Are you with me? The one whom you love, Jesus, is sick. Can I tell you, God's not motivated by whether we love him or not. He already loved you when you walked in. He knows exactly what we've been doing. He knows if we're far away. He knows that we believe, if there's a God or if we don't. He knows all of those different things. And do you know what? He looks at you and goes, man, I love them. I love them. I'm telling you what. Meanwhile, we could be mad at him. I'm so mad at you. I can't stand you. And he goes, oh, but you don't know how much I love you. And I can almost see him whispering like, but oh, if you wouldn't just listen to everybody else, and if you would just give me an opportunity to prove myself to you, you would believe again. That's the reason why I'm here this morning, is to just challenge us that even if we're believing for the very first time, we can believe again. But please silence the noise. You're here. Let's give him a chance. Lazarus, the one whom you love, is dead, she says. And it goes on to say this, watch. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus looking and says, just so you know, he's not going to die. Just so you know, I know the end result. But I got to tell you, there is a twist, because this does play out like a reality show. Watch, it says, it's not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, the Son of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now watch, and Jesus loved, again, Martha and her sister. Notice it didn't say, and they loved Jesus. No, no, no. It says again, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister. So when he heard that he was sick, say what, Jesus? He stayed there 2 more days. Where he was. I don't know about you, but I get a little frustrated with Jesus sometimes, because I do pray and I do have needs, and it does seem like he takes his time. I'm trying to preach life to you all today, but the reality is that there's sometimes there is this journey that tests our faith. It's in this journey where the life can turn to death. And where Martha and Mary are, they're running empty on the faith. They've run all the way. Jesus, the one you love. And Jesus says to them, watch. Okay, I'll see you in a couple days. Can you imagine them going back home and say, but he's the one you love. You just told me that he's not dead. Can you imagine the walk back home? Jesus didn't come with you. Can I tell you that even when it seems like Jesus isn't there, it's not dead. Let's keep going. And I'm finishing. I promise. If I don't finish, you'll be mad. Verse 11 in John says this: "These things Jesus said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.'" He's laying down. When we get there, it's going to look bleak for them, but I'm just going to go and bring it back to life. Can I tell you that Jesus is in the building today, and I just want to declare to you, come alive. Let's keep going. "Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.'" However, Jesus was speaking of Lazarus's death. Say what, Jesus? I'm confused. Is he sleeping or is he dead? Jesus, watch. Jesus says to Martha and Mary, and then he says to the disciples, he says, "Look, he's just sleeping." But they didn't understand, because remember, the way Jesus is thinking is not how they were thinking. So when we see something is dead, Jesus sees it as alive. So Jesus finally comes and he says, watch this, because they were thinking about natural sleep. Jesus says, "Hey, look, he's dead. He's dead. Because for your natural side, I want you to know that he's dead. But your thought process, I'm about to shift. I'm going to shift your thought process because I want you to think like me. Because the spirit that's in me rests in you. And you'll realize that it's never over." Here we go. Y'all ready to bring it home? Verse 14, "Then Jesus said it plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' Then Thomas said, 'Well, hey, if we're going to go, let's all die when we get there.'" Be weary of people who are comfortable with your being stuck. Thomas says, "You know what? Let's die with him." Jesus is speaking faith. It's not dead. It's not over. And Thomas says, "Well, you know what? Man, you know what? Your marriage is over. You're not going to get that job in this economy. Why would you even go for the house? Why are you dreaming? You know you got all those bills, but you want to be a business owner. You don't have the degree." Thomas is like, "Well, let's all go there and let's just confirm what we already know." Be leery of people who are comfortable with your being stuck. At some point, you got to ignore them. Because remember, the opinion versus the experience. We want the experience. "So it was when Jesus came," verse 17, "that he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus was only 2 miles away. It's the equivalent of being here to the 417 pass. Jesus was that close. And Jesus took 2 more days. And he came 4 days later. I was doing a study and I was like, 4 days. Jesus came after 4 days because in Jewish culture, back in biblical days, they believed that the spirit of a person hovered for 3 days and that they could come back to life in 3 days. So Jesus said, "I'm coming on the 4th day and I'm going to prove that dead things are never dead. It actually works backwards when it involves me." Are you with me? Can I tell you that you came in here on a Sunday? Jesus died on a Friday. You walked in here with some things that you need to be brought back to life. Remember, he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to bring you back to life. And so the story goes on to say that Jesus goes, "Lazarus, it's me. Lazarus, it's me." And the Bible says that Lazarus, like, comes out of his grave clothes. It's like, "Jesus, I thought I heard you calling me. If it was me," this is what I would have been like, "why didn't you come before I died?" That's just my comedic side. "You know I was out. My sisters told you. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you showed up. Because you've proven to me that even though I were dead, I never really was." And Jesus says this to the sisters. He says, "Now, I just did all of this so that you can believe." Look at verse 20, 25. Jesus says this in verse 25. He says, and Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you know what he said? Easter is not a Sunday where you celebrate me. Easter is a Sunday where I am he. I am the resurrection. He said, don't just celebrate me on a day. This is who I am every day. Easter is not just a holiday. This is me. I am the resurrection and the life. It is never over. It is never dead. Jesus says, if you have an encounter with me, you won't just celebrate Easter. You will walk with me every day, which means that life is available to you every single day. You don't just have to come to church on Easter and say, Lord, do something. No, no, no. I can go throughout my work week. It can be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Jesus said, I did it so that you can believe in me. And then he asked them this. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe based on your personal experience now? Notice how Jesus says, you've had the experience with me. Now, do you believe? Can I leave you with this question? And can I leave you with, will you believe today? Can Jesus write a story for you today? Can you get in your mind the thing that could be dead and give Jesus an opportunity to come back to life? Can I push past the fact that we're here on Easter and say, what if Jesus was my everyday? Can I ask you, do you believe? I wonder if we could believe again, or maybe even for the very first time. I wonder if we'd give him a chance, an opportunity. Remember, the person with an experience is never at the mercy with the one with an opinion. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to bring dead people back to life.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.